I did what I did for the good of the realm. The realm. Do you know what the realm is? It's the thousand blades of Aegon's enemies. A story we agreed to tell each other over and over till we forget that it's a lie. But what do we have left once we abandon the lie? Chaos. A gaping pit waiting to swallow us all. Chaos isn't a pit. Chaos is a ladder. Many who try to climb it fail.
Boys and girls, it's Terrible Tommy. You thought I'd died and gone to hell. I mean heaven, didn't you? Well, let's see. It's the, what is the day? Damn, that can't be right. It says 11 November 26th. Anyhow, we'll just forget that. Forget the time. Forget all that stuff. I'm back on, back in the saddle again out here in Never Never Land, surrounded by beautiful mountains with snow on them and wild poppies covering them and everything. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. If I wrote a book about the last two or three weeks of my life, it would be a combination of fair to Midland and horror. If you've ever moved and moved a long distance, you'll know what I mean. Yeah. First, it's the horror of loading up and boxing up and deciding what you're going to get rid of. And then it's the unloading and trying to figure out where in the hell you're going to put out, put all your stuff, as George Carlin would say. Where's you going to put your stuff? And I really appreciate his comedy takeoff on that one. Now, if you sent mail in the last two or three weeks, you wouldn't have gotten it back, but it's being forwarded to me at a new address, and we've put that up on the web, but I'm going to give it to you again. It's 1281 North State Street, Suite A, San Jacinto, that's SanJacinto, California, 92583, and that's box 114. And pretty soon all that mail from the Fallbrook Post Office, not Fallbrook, but Warsaw Post Office, is going to catch up with us, and we'll get everything all sorted out. So don't think that you're mail has been lost or anything like that. Well, I got an update on the racial situation traveling across the country, 2,000 miles. And it's not good, boys and girls. It's certainly not good, and you knew that already. But the thing that disturbs me the most is that the latest statistics show that interracial between black and white is going raising at the rate of about 10% per year. I'm not quite sure what that equates to, but that's a lot of interracial marriage, and that doesn't even count the ones that are not counted. And I notice that in my travels, more and more I'm seeing white women and black men, and they seem to be perfectly happy at that. Mother Nature doesn't like that, I'll tell you, and sooner or later the karma is going to catch up. But anyhow, in the meantime, fools are going to do what they're going to do. Well, how do you like the Great White Hope by now? I knew that most of the white racial people struggle, climbed onto that Trump bandwagon. And, of course, I like some of the things he said, too. But, you see, there's so many things that I don't like. And there's so many things that, of course, I don't trust a billionaire for anything. He's going to look out after a billionaire one way or another. Choose between the white race and his billions, he's going to take the billions. Yeah, that's what he'll do. And so I was reticent about this all the way along. Of course, I didn't vote for him, vote for anybody. But the problem we have is that people jump to the conclusion that anybody that's the enemy of this other guy is my friend, or vice versa. And that's not the way it worked. Just because Hillary was a bitch, always has been a bitch, and will remain a bitch, that doesn't mean that Mr. Trump is a fine, great guy. You know, they can both sides be bastards. And I'm interested in watching the right wing, the way they're going along with this Trump deal and all the Jews around him and all the people he's appointing, all the war hawks, war monger types, wanting to raise the military production. More atomic bombs, more drones. Well, who do you think's going to do? A lot of people will be killed, and guess who? It's a lot of white people. People say, well, that's all right. It's just those ragheads over there want a white guy. Well, you're thousands and thousands of white young men capable of producing very healthy, advanced white children are dying or being made into, almost Arnold Schwarzenegger type, put together type people. And they're bragging about how they're giving them legs and arms and all that. Well, I'd rather brag about them never losing the arms and legs in the first place for the corporations, because follow the money. It all comes down to the money. And if you're dying for some cause and think you're dying for America, well, you may think you are, but of course America was gone a long time ago. It's gone a long time ago. And as far as the white race, it's a sad thing to say, but I think the white race lost it at Little Rock in 1956, I think it was. I think right there was the Gettysburg. And we've been going, that just shows you how far we've gone downhill. If I'm saying that Little Rock, the battle that never happened, was the end or the beginning of the end, where are we now? Pretty bad, boys and girls. Oh yeah, I decided to make one little change here. We're going to call this Lone Wolf Radio. Yeah, what do you think of that? I like the sound of that, because Lone Wolf is in the news every day. And I must say, I accept part of the blame for promoting that term of lone wolf. I'm sure I'm not the first one that did, but I did a lot of pushing of it early on, so I take credit for lone wolf anyhow. Well, I'm going to read to you a little something that in my moving hundreds, maybe a few thousand books, maybe not a few thousand, but it sure as hell knocks several hundred out of a thousand. This was old Ben Klassen from the Church of the Creator that wrote this way back. And if you're a Christian, stick your fingers in your ear. If you're still hanging in there to this Jew Christianity, stick your fingers in your ear. One thing I like about where I've moved to, there's hardly any churches. You have to really look to find a church around here. And that makes me so happy, because back where I was living, in Indiana. It was church, 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 churches everywhere. Big, expensive, millions of dollars churches. And a bunch of crazy asses like you see on TV in these big Christian get-togethers. Hundreds, thousands of people flocking. You know, I caught a little WrestleMania the other night. I don't watch that stuff because it's so phony, but I just happened to tune past it. And I said, you know, the only thing good about WrestleMania, it keeps thousands of people out of the churches. They'd rather go watch WrestleMania than go to church, which I think is a good idea. Well, anyhow, the mold, to see if I can read this with my glasses. Multitude of reasons. Oh yeah, another little point that might make you cross your eyes. If you've never driven a PT Cruiser Chrysler 2,000 miles loaded with crap and two dogs, you haven't lived. Okay, back to the subject. Multitude of reasons. We have used up many pages of this book exposing and debunking Christianity for the fraud that it is. Since so many of our good white racial comrades are more or less infected with this fungus of the brain, I have been asked by some of our supporters why I take such hostile positions against Christianity, which after all has been the principal religion of the white race for nearly 2,000 years. Not only that, but some of our most patriotic citizens, some of our best people, are Christians. Why not just live and let live and leave the religion issue alone? These are good questions, and I'm eager to answer them. One, in the first place, this whole spooks in the sky story is a swindle, a lie, as I have exposed page after page. It is based upon an emotional and psychological con game. And in thousands of years that ghosts and demons, gods and spooks have been used to frighten gullible people into submission, to exploit them and to enslave them, not a single shred of meaningful evidence has been produced to substantiate the claim that such supernatural spooks exist. We indict Christianity of promoting this swindle on the white race. To those people who argue that we can't prove they don't exist, we remind them of a fundamental principle of law and evidence, namely, if they make the claim that spooks exist, the burden of proof is on them, not us. 3. Anytime you base any movement or struggle or creed on a lie, you are headed for disaster until such lie or error is corrected. Progress impossible and disaster inevitable. To quote a few examples, if we allowed all men are created equal to stand, which is a moronic statement, this lie then spawns a whole network of new lies. If you believe the basic lie of all men being equal, then you should have no objection to your daughter marrying a nigger, and that's what they're probably doing. Letting all the scum, all the niggers from Haiti and elsewhere come into the United States and so on. It is similar to the situation if, say, in elementary school, when your daughter taught you the times table and he injected just one error into it, that's 2 times 2 was 17. If you believe that, then 2 times 4 could rationally be 34, and so on and so on, until you had this obvious error in your mind corrected. You could expect nothing but miscalculations and errors in your mathematics for the rest of your life. It is the same with the spooks in the sky fraud, a basic lie that has haunted and plagued the white race for thousands of years, and until the fraud is corrected, no healthy constructive philosophy can be built. 4. Christianity is obviously a Jewish concoction. It is a fact of history that the Jews worshipped their Book of Moses long before Christianity ever appeared on the scene and before Christianity was sold to the unsuspecting Romans. It is a fact anybody can check for themselves that the Old Testament, which comprises three-quarters of the Christian Bible and is read over and over in every school and Sunday school in the country every Sunday and Thursday and Friday and on television 24 hours a day, is all about Jews regarding the New Testament. Nobody really knows who wrote Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, or who these characters were. Remember, these things were written hundreds of years after allegedly Jesus lived. But it is a common agreement among both Christians and Jews that Saul of Tarsus, who became St. Paul of the Christian movement, was a renegade Jew. He wrote almost half of the New Testament, the basis of the Christian creed. It is therefore a fair conclusion that Christianity, as espoused by St. Paul of Tarsus, is in essence Jewish. 5. Christ, the proclaimed hero and founder of Christianity, is repeatedly represented as Jewish. His parents, Joseph and Mary, represented as Jewish, with the ancestry of Joseph being traced back to the seed of David. In Luke 2:21, it tells that Christ being circumcised on the eighth day, as was the custom of the Jews. There is no contemporary historical evidence that Christ ever existed. The above Christian claims notwithstanding. And you can go up to the website and go to that JesusNeverExisted.com and get a hell of a lot more information on that. It is my conclusion that no such figure ever existed, but was reconstructed from myths, allegories, and fantasies rising out of the early religions, especially the Essenes, whose connection with Christianity I've already chronicled in Nature's Eternal Religion. In the chapter, Christ's Existence, Not Substantiated by Historical Evidence, unquote. To me, this further indicates strongly that the whole swindle is based on a lie. To those who would prove otherwise, I repeat, the burden of proof is on the party claiming. As an interesting side note, the crucified Savior story has been used in 17 other religions before Christians picked it up and replayed it for their con games. Since Christianity is overwhelmingly of Jewish origin, its teaching per se are alien to the heroic spirit of the white race, as the Jew Marcus Eli Ravage has noted so succinctly, it was stuck in our craw, quote, an alien faith which you cannot swallow or digest, which is at the cross purposes with your native spirit, which keeps you everlastingly ill at ease, in which you lack the spirit to either reject or accept in full, unquote. That was written by a Jew. Exactly, but we creators now do have the spirit to reject it in total and relegate it to the scrap heap of history. We indict Christianity as causing the collapse of the great Roman civilization, first, by aiding the mongrelization of the Romans, and secondly, indoctrinating and mongrelizing slave populations with a servile, irresponsible philosophy, escapism, self-pity, and self-destruction. And they even spread it among the non-white natives of the world and Indians and all that kind of stuff. When actually, when you look at some of their religions are a little more accurate and more self-serving for their race than Christianity could have ever been. We indict Christianity of making the white race guilt-ridden when they should be supremely proud of their illustrious accomplishments. We indict Christianity for shackling the mind and intellect of the white man for at least 1,300 years, of being the prime cause of the Dark Ages and setting back civilization and progress during its entire span, including the present 20th century. You know, it's amazing to me, thinking about it, where we could have been without the yoke of primitive Jewish Christianity. How far could we have been out in the cosmos? We indict Christianity in the present day of swindling the white race of at least $20 billion a year in its churches alone to keep perpetuating this gigantic spooks in the sky superstitions. Well, that's a $450 billion business in the United States, the last I checked. We indict Christianity of inflicting untold mental anguish on not only millions but billions of victims by spreading its horrible concept of a fiery hell and internal torture. You know, I used to get a phone call once in a while, or even a note in the mail, said, "You're going to burn in hell, Metzger. Because you love your race, you're going to burn in hell." So that's the way that goes. These people actually pretend, at least, they believe that nonsense, which was created by Dante in Dante's Inferno, things written about a long time ago. We indict Christianity of laying the philosophy and groundwork of communism. The similarity to the two Jewish philosophies chronicled in more detail in Nature's Eternal Religion in the chapter on Christianity and Communism, Jewish Twins. Well, we all know that any system is not based pretty much on survival of the fittest and positive evolution is going to fail. There's no way about it. If you start lifting the weakest up to tower over and lead the strongest, your system is going to fail. That's what Hollywood has done for us with the niggers, the black people, the Schwarzers. They have made illusions of their equality and superiority. And now you've come, now it's every day, every new movie is that. Every new TV show is mostly blacks, and now it's the whites are the sub race. Yes, and I told you before, and a lot of other people have told you, they don't want equality, even equality. Nobody wants equality. They want superiority. Even blacks want superiority. They don't want equality. We indict Christianity of softening up the white race for attempting the idea of race mixing. By such suicidal teachings as, "We are all equal in the eyes of the Lord." What Lord? "And we're all God's children." The entering wedge was hammered into the body of the white race to accept the inferior niggers and mud races as their equal. Once that was accomplished, it was going to be a very quick slide into oblivion. We indict Christianity for its teaching that the Jews are God's chosen people, for being the cause of the white race tolerating and venerating the Jews in their heinous programs of mongrelization, enslaving, and destroying us. Well, when it comes to the Jews, we should hate them for what they do. I don't think you should hate every Jew, because I think there's plenty of Jews that disagree with the whole thing, or who were born Jews. Of course, I say that you can be a Catholic and quit being a Catholic. You can be a Methodist and quit being a Methodist, and you can be a Jew and quit being a Jew. Just walk away from it. Don't practice it anymore. Don't give lip service to it anymore, and don't use that strength you have against other races. Hitler should have just gone after really bad Jews. Now, a lot of people are going to say they're all bad. I don't believe all Jews are bad. We indict Christianity and its teaching of selling all thou hast and give it to the poor. Well, that's pure Hillary Clinton right there. Not her money, your money, not her money, of being the basic cause of the white race tolerating the outrage of being robbed, fleeced, plundered by such giveaway programs as foreign aid, and a parcel of relief programs, foreign and domestic. You keep track of how much foreign aid Mr. Trump, President Trump, really gets rid of. Start checking not what he said in the primary, but what he's doing now. We indict Christianity as being the most dishonest and hypocritical of all religions. It bills itself as a religion of love and compassion when it has repeatedly used the most brutal means of mental and physical torture against its opponents, like probably more vicious so than any movement in history. For further details about the brutality of Christianity, see the chapter on Thumbscrew and Rack in this book. I don't really need to read that because I see it. These people that claim to be Christians are behind all these wars. They egg them on. Their priests pray for the soldiers that are doing it, praying for the B-17s that bombed the hell out of the German people in World War II. And then they claim to be Christians and dropping atomic bombs on Japan. That's Christianity. And their priests pray every time they open up the Congress and Senate. They got a Christian and Jew, and now probably a Muslim, giving a prayer. If there was a Satan, I think they would be praying to that Satan, not any kind of peaceful, loving deity. We indict Christianity as being the cause of numerous fratricidal wars between segments of the white race and dissemination of slaying of millions of our white racial comrades, to name only one out of hundreds, the 30 Years' War of 1618 to 1648, which decimated millions of the finest of our white racial brothers in the heart of Europe and set Germany back 300 years. We indict Christianity of conducting any number of mass murders, usually with the approval of or at the specific direction of the highest authorities who claim to be Christian. One such bloodthirsty example was the St. Bartholomew Massacre, which began in Paris on St. Bartholomew's Day in August 24, 1572. Over 50,000 Huguenots, French Protestants, were murdered to the delight of the royalty in Madrid and the Pope in Rome. We indict Christianity for flying in the face of nature, being contrary to the sacred laws of nature, and being anti-nature in the very essence of its distorted supernatural teachings. Lastly, we indict Christianity of confusing and undermining the white man's survival instincts and having for all these centuries stood there as an impervious roadblock to formulating a racial religion for our own survival, expansion, and advancement. The great German philosopher Friedrich Nietzsche, 1844 to 1900, strongly denounced Christianity as the worst of all evils. In his final work, The Antichrist, he roundly condemns Christianity for destroying everything that is best in this world. In his conclusion, he observes, among other things, the following, quote, "I condemn Christianity. It is to me the greatest of all imaginable corruptions. It seeks to work the ultimate corruption, the worst possible corruption. The Christian Church has left nothing untouched by its depravity. It has turned every value into worthlessness, and every truth into a lie, and every integrity into baseness of soul. It lives by distress. It creates distress to make itself immortal. I call Christianity one of the greatest curses, the one great intrinsic depravity, the one great distinct instinct for revenge. I call it the one immortal blemish upon the human race," unquote. And that's reading from, actually this was taken from Nature's Eternal Religion, I'm pretty sure, by Ben Klassen. He wrote it. And it was in Liberty Bell magazine, that great magazine now extinct, November 1982. So there you have it. You will never defeat the enemies of the white race as long as Christianity and these fake religions are in control. If there's a war, it should be against these religions. I mean, even a hot war. Now, there's a lot of Christians in this country who want to wage war against the Muslims. But the Muslims are not near as dangerous to the white race as Christianity is right now. So, knowing that, our problem is not going to be solved for a long time, if it's going to be solved at all. In the meantime, you got to know what you got to know. That what I'm reading to you is true, and Ben Klassen was trying to do something that nobody else had ever done in this racial struggle. And he was fought tooth and nail by every right-wing racial conservative in the country. All the leaders, there were hardly any leaders that supported him in what he was trying to do, nature's eternal religion. And that is a shame upon the white racial struggle. And it always will be. Well, let's do some lone wolf snooping here. What are the Jews saying about all this? If you want to know your enemy, read what he says, listen to what he says, and you'll find out. If you read, just sit around reading your own stuff, most of us have been around quite a while. We know what our own stuff says. Some things in history we may not know, but that we can catch up with. But if you want to know what's going on and who's trying to get you, well, you can do no less than just go to what the Jews say themselves in public and open and on the internet. So here we go. The recent address of a 19-year-old Jew with dual American citizenship who is accused of issuing bomb threats to more than 100 Jewish institutions around the world exposed a blind spot in our understanding of anti-Jewism. Sometimes a Jew can commit acts of anti-Jewism. Sometimes hateful acts come from within. Jews, given our history, are accustomed to being targeted by someone else. Of course, they're never guilty. The Jews, the one thing, they are never guilty. It's only the people who criticize them. Marauding Christians, genocidal Nazis, Palestinian terrorists, and the Ku Klux Klan, to name a few culprits. The exceptions, the times when a Jew terrorized another Jew, often occurred in a recognizable political context, such as the tragic 1995 assassination of Yitzhak Rabin by a crazed ideological opponent. You see, even among themselves, they call their own enemies terrible people, crazy people. But it is difficult to fathom the purpose behind the bomb threats that disrupted the operations and brought fear to nearly half the community centers around the country, places that serve Jews and non-Jews alike. I would only be speculation at this point to explain this motive. Well, partially, it comes about by a self-hating Jew, and I can understand. I've known and run into a lot of self-hating Jews. A lot of people self-hating Christians, and I agree with them. If they're practicing this Jewish Christianity, they should be self-hating, and they won't admit it, but they are. That's what. Why do you think we have so many psychoanalysts running around, people in the nut houses? It's religion. But the rest of it is just strictly to promote their program. You know, all of a sudden, you know, when anything about the Jews come up, like in the primary with Trump, this kind of stuff happens. Well, it's not an accident, because there's been books written on all the stuff pulled by Jews themselves on other Jews, and for saying that, playing down the fact that Jews don't even kill Jews is ridiculous. They have no problem killing off half the Jews if the other half gains the world. That's what, you know, that's what's the situation with Hitler. He gave them Israel. He founded Israel. I've got a book about that. Who else could have gotten Israel going and promoted them and got them billions and billions of dollars? Well, they had to sacrifice a few Jews. It wasn't 6 million. It was probably a few hundred thousand. But that's peanuts to what determined people will do to gain what they want. Power for the top Jews. And as far as I know, not one of these threats were carried out in any way whatsoever. Even spray painting a swastika on a synagogue or something. Nothing was done, so you know it's phony. Whenever people make a threat, and the threat is never carried out, well, that's bullshit. But the press promote it like it's a real thing, man. They were really planning. There's people all out there planning every day to attack Jewish buildings and synagogues and all that. To me, if you were going to attack the power of the Jew, you would be attacking the Federal Reserve, like our friend who died in the struggle, and he actually did. So, I mean, you know, there's no greater synagogue in this country, in the world, than the Federal Reserve System of the United States. And this also gives the Jews a chance to go after our people. Yeah. That's why so many of us, the Jews say, myself included, initially traced the source of the JCC threats to the ultra-white nationalists who have emerged out of the sewers, quote-unquote, to use former Anti-Defamation League director Abraham Foxman's words since last year's shameful presidential campaign. You see how they turn it around? Oh, they're very clever. They're very clever, and the media will never challenge them on it, you know. Out of the sewers. That's where we come from. Well, I'd rather be living in a sewer than be a Jew. Hey, do you want to meet Abe Foxman? Well, he's around. The sun is still shining. Abe Foxman boomed over the phone from Southern California, where it was Men's Week at the Golden Door Spa in San Marcos, California, about 35 miles north of San Diego. It was an overcast afternoon in New York, but Foxman was paying one of his twice yearly visits last week to the exclusive spa, which has played host to the likes of Aldous Huxley, Johnny Weissmuller, and a host of business moguls, oil barons, movie producers, and real estate developers over the years. Known as the Jewish Pope, thanks to his 28-year leadership of the Anti-Defamation League, Foxman used until his July 2015 retirement to damn or pardon people for anti-Jewism. Remember that the Golden Door Spa in San Marcos, California. No longer his job, so over the course of more than an hour, Foxman 76 spoke for positions of distance that was not just a product of his temporary immersion in a world of massages, mountain hikes, and organically grown gourmet meals. Retirement Foxman stress had brought him new perspective to after decades of dealing from the inside of anti-Jewism. Broader issues of bigotry and racism and advocacy on behalf of Israel and the U.S.-Israel relationship. The view from here, he said, quoting the hawkish Ariel Sharon after he became Prime Minister of Israel and surprised the world by withdrawing from Gaza, is not the view from there. Let's go on down here and see what he says. Hmm. This election didn't create anti-Semitism or anti-Judaism and bigotry, he said. It's just enabled what was always there. What we're seeing now is the sewer covers are off, and it's coming out of the sewers. That's part of the changing perceptions caused by the internet, social media. Well, we could say the same about you guys, because remember that movie put out in during World War II of all the rats coming out of the sewer? He's trying to switch that around on the white people, or non-Jews, or Jew critics. For all that, Foxman said, I'm optimistic, at least about Trump, notwithstanding his campaign. I think the president-elect has begun the process of making clear he will govern on behalf of the American people and the kikes, Foxman said. He called recent comments in this vein that Trump has made in interviews with 60 Minutes and New York Times, and in a December 1st speech to supporters in Cincinnati, baby steps in the right direction, but this would not be enough for us Jews, he stressed. I believe there will come to time soon when he'll have to make presidential address from someplace like the Holocaust Museum or the Museum of African American History to address concerns about who he is and what he stands for. I'm not going to urge it to or stamp my feet about it, but I think that's where he needs to go and kiss the ass of our brethren. Does former head of the ADL really believe that having smashed the long-standing campaign taboos against criticizing people of their race, ethnicity, religion, and gender and disability in order to win the presidency? Well, which Trump really didn't do. Trump could now give a speech that will allow him to, in effect, say, never mind, and inspire the modicum of national unity required to govern a huge, diverse, race-mixed country like America. And even if he could, what precedent would this set for what's permissible campaigns? Well, it goes on and on and on and on. That big, fat slob, he's not even a Jew, really. He was a Christian adopted or taken in by the Jews. But like most Christians, they become more radical Jew than the Jews themselves. I talked to you people about a book I've got in my library about Journey to San Cristobal. And it's a story about that Hitler lived and he wasn't killed or he didn't commit suicide. And he was hiding down in South America. And these Jews were going after him. It was written by a man by the name of George Steiner, which I read an article about him the other day. He's been criticized a lot by the Jews, and actually it was a very pro-Jew book he wrote. It was actually from a play, Journey to San Cristobal. And they find Hitler, and their guys put him on a stretcher, and were bringing him out of the jungle, and he was giving them hell all the way out. I mean, he was saying, well, what would you do without me? I gave you Israel. What do you expect? I did good for you Jews and all that. It's all in that book, Journey to San Cristobal. Someday I'll dig it out and quote it to you. I've quoted it to you before, but it's been a long time ago. Well, here's a little bit of information on Jared Kushner's family. You know, that's the great white hope's son-in-law. What fools the conservatives are. The conservative right-wing racists are even bigger fools sometimes. Jared Kushner's family has financial investments in Israel that could prevent him from being an honest broker in the Israeli-Palestinian impasse, ethics experts say. They don't want a solution over there. According to the Associated Press, Kushner's family real estate company, Kushner Companies, has shared investment in a New Jersey apartment building with a major Israeli financial group, Harel Insurance Investments and Financial Services Limited. In addition to the New Jersey apartment building, Harel partnered up with Kushner Companies on a deal to provide $50 million loan for a real estate project in Brooklyn, a 73-story residential building that would be the borough's tallest. The AP also reported that Kushner Companies confirmed it has a long-standing relationship with Israel's bank Hapoalim and bank Leumi, but would not provide further details. Jared Kushner has stepped down as chief executive of Kushner Companies, but he has not entirely divested his assets. that's hilarious. Ethics experts say these investments, in addition to Kushner family's support of West Bank settlements and Kushner's personal relationship with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, could impact his ability to negotiate an Israeli-Palestinian peace deal. No shit, Sherlock. Quote, financial investments in Israel would seem to only further complicate conflicts of interest issues, unquote. Larry Noble, senior director of regulatory programs and general counsel at the Campaign Legal Center, told AP. Wow. Jeez. Oh, the great white hope and his family are really going to help the white race. Oh, the richest of the white race. That's what I'm talking about. Follow the money, boys and girls. Always follow the money. You know what amuses me is all this stuff. When they bomb over in London, wherever they bomb, we're not afraid of those guys. You know, we're not afraid of them. They're afraid of us, you know. So, stiff upper lip. And they say, we're not afraid. Well, of course they're afraid. They're spending billions and billions of dollars because they're afraid. And they're causing conditions in the Middle East to be so much worse that they're going to have to be afraid. They know they got to be afraid. You bomb the shit out of people and destroy their country and blow up every building in town. When you go in there, you got to expect something back. And so you got to expect to be afraid. But they're going to tell all the dummies out there, the morons, don't be afraid. We got you covered. Bullshit, they got nothing covered. Anybody who wants to be a terrorist can be a terrorist. Simple. I mean, look at them. They're running cars and trucks over people. So that's another form of lone wolfism, you know. Lone wolf can cover any kind of circumstance. But at this time, we're ideological lone wolves. We don't need to be terrorist lone wolves. The day might come, but it's not here yet. Because our enemies are eating themselves alive. They're eating their tail. The empire is disintegrating. Why should we endanger ourselves when our enemies are doing it for us? It's funny, too, now they're trying to dispel the idea that lone wolves exist. They must be really scared to try to do that. That's like saying that the white race doesn't exist. Unbelievable. Meanwhile, hate crimes, so-called hate crimes, I guess they could be called love crimes, are traveling across the country. And they're getting to be more and more, but I hear that they're trying to develop programs to let thousands of prisoners out of the prisons. Thousands of them. Well, a lot of them may deserve to get out, but a good share of them don't deserve to get out, and they're going to turn them on the street, and the Muslims are going to turn them. They've already turned most of them, or a lot of them, in prison. And then they'll teach them all that stuff about hate crimes and terrorism. So you're not safe with them on the street, but they're going to be turning them loose by the thousands. I think they're going to try to turn loose 12, 15,000 here in the area where I'm at. Wow. Well, that's it for today from Lone Wolf Radio. Yeah, I like the sound of that. Do you? Lone Wolf Radio. And I'll soon be getting all your back mail in here and figure out who said what and who sent what and so forth. So I'll be back tomorrow with some more good news.
Bye-bye, boys and girls.